Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I like it or I don't like it. It's good or it's bad. I accept it or I reject it. We're a nation of people who have become experts at making judgments. Meat and eggs are graded A or AA. Produce and fruit are stamped according to their quality. Customer reviews on Amazon and on Google and Yelp are able to give us star ratings from everyone who has purchased a product or visited an establishment and has rated the service or the quality. Pets are selected or rejected according to their pedigree. So is it any wonder then, in a world in which passes judgment on virtually everything that passes before its eyes, that people are also subject to the same kind of scrutiny? Everything from our abilities to our credit references seem to follow us around throughout our lives so that we can be stamped in the eyes of others, good or bad, accepted or rejected. Living in this kind of society seems to give all of us a good excuse to judge our fellow human beings, labeling them as rejected or accepted by me. Well, our text today from James, the brother of Jesus, reminds us that our fellow human beings are not to be graded or rated, selected or rejected. We are not to stand people in a row side by side and compare them according to our own personal likes or dislikes. Don't treat people in different ways according to their outward appearances, James says. Well, our text pulls no punches as it deals with the touchiest problems in the Christian's life: how we are to deal with other people around us. James seems to fully understand the way that the world around us operates. Each person is out to step on the next person so that he can be just one person higher in life in the eyes of the world around him, at least. But with incisive wisdom, James cuts through the standards and practices of those around him and applies God's standards for living with others. These standards were already set up for God's people in the Old Testament when God said in Leviticus 19, verse 15, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not show favoritism against the poor, nor show undue honor to the mighty. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor." Ever since human beings bloated their pride with the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, we've been out to demand first place. We're determined to get there by hook or by crook. It's simply part of our fallen, sinful human nature to lie, to betray, to slander, and to defame anyone who gets in the way of us achieving that goal. We work with a principle that for every person we can put down, we ourselves will be raised one notch higher. With prejudicial glee, we set up our own standards for testing other people. And in order for anyone to pass the test, well, they must have my color of skin, they must dress according to my likes, think the way I do, vote the way I do, live according to my standards, belong to my church. And if you don't pass my scrutiny, then I'll be quick to let someone know where I feel your weaknesses are. After it's all said and done, the only one that ever passes that test is ourselves. Everyone else is criticized or categorized according to our standards. Well, God's word in our text today pricks our conscience as a needle touching an inflated balloon. The words of God in our text today explode our bloated pride. As God's inspired writer James says, "My brothers, you cannot really believe that you have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ and yet continue to show favoritism." James here refers to Jesus as the glorious Lord. This was a confession of the early church, which recognized Jesus as having risen from the dead and having been exalted to rule at the right hand of God the Father. It acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, who has carried out the total will of God to reclaim God's children for himself. And it also went a step further to acknowledge that this same Jesus is right now Lord and ruler of their lives. And so in light of this confession, James is saying, how can you claim Jesus as your Lord, as the Lord of your life, and then act contrary to what he teaches and stands for? In Mark chapter 12, verse 14, even the Pharisees have to admit to Jesus, "Teacher, we know that you pay no attention to the status of men, but simply teach the truth of God's will for men." If this same Jesus is now the ruler of our lives, then snobbery, prejudice, and social distinction should be replaced by love and acceptance. The same love and acceptance that Jesus has for all people, regardless of who they are. And then James uses an example that also applies very well to us today. He tells about a rich man and a poor man who come to church to worship. The rich man is given a bulletin, and he is escorted to a good seat in church so that everyone can see that this person of status is here in church with us. But when the poor man comes in, well, then everyone turns their heads and pretends that they don't see him for fear that they might have to talk with him. An icy wall of stares and whispers suddenly surrounds him and makes it almost impossible for the warmth of the gospel, of the love of Jesus, to penetrate into his heart and life. Now, we might react pretty strongly if that kind of accusation was leveled against our congregation. We say, well, we try to be warm and inviting and welcoming. But when, however, we get down to the heart and center of the matter, we have to admit that this text does touch on a sore spot, whether we want to admit it or not. As we said at the opening of the worship service, maybe we feel that we've done pretty well in conquering many of the prejudices that exist in our world against the color of a person's skin or the way a person dresses or the distinction between rich and poor. But have we conquered all of our individual personal prejudices? For example, have we conquered our dislike for our fellow church member or co-worker or neighbor whom we just can't stand, we just find so annoying? Well, the problem that God encounters, confronts us with in our text is not new in the church. The Apostle Peter, for example, never expected to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. He felt that they were simply outside the scope of God's love. So he had developed a keen dislike for Roman soldiers, as many of the other Jewish people of that time had done. The Roman Empire was occupiers of the Jewish people and did not let them govern themselves and administer their own affairs, and in fact, very frequently persecuted the Jewish people. And the Apostle Peter, together with many other Jewish people, was sure that those Gentiles, those non-Jews, simply did not fit the standard for God's kingdom. That is, until God directly called and sent Peter to go to the Roman centurion Cornelius and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus to him and his family. And so in Acts chapter 10, Peter acknowledges, "Now I see that God does not show favoritism." And the Apostle Paul also preaches this message against prejudice and criticism over and over again. He writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6 to remind those who own slaves that they were to treat their slaves well because both slaves and owners belong to the same master, to God. And God judges everyone by the same standard. Both the early Christian church and the Christian church of the Middle Ages fought the same battles of prejudice. People were judging their fellow church members by outward appearances, by their wealth or their influence. And sad to say, the problem in our day also hasn't gotten much better. We must constantly remind ourselves that the Lord of the church has no prejudice. He didn't select you and me by the way we look or the way we dress or by the amount of money we have or by the social status we claim. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when he spoke the words, "It is finished," and then rose from the dead on the third day, assuring the faithful that they would also arise, he gave this gospel power to all who would receive it through faith, regardless of color, race, wealth, or personality. And so how can we, who claim to share the same message and to live in its power and glory, dare to be selective to share it or live it only with those who match our particular standards? Well, what are the standards that God has given us by which we are to judge our fellow man? Well, God's standards are quite simple. He says, "Judge not, or you will be judged. For by the measure you use to judge others, you yourself will be judged." And a little later in this same chapter from James's epistle, he reminds us that God will not show mercy when he judges the person who has not been merciful to others. Jesus, in that same chapter we just quoted from, where he says, "Do not judge or you will be judged," he says, "First take the plank, the log, out of your own eye before you attempt to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And so Jesus continually reminds us to deal first with our own faults, and then after we have realized the love and the forgiveness, the mercy and the grace that Jesus shares with us, only then to approach someone else and to deal with them in that same way. We first need to deal with that log of pride in our own eyes. We daily need to look at the cross of Jesus, to fall down on our knees before God's throne and to confess with the Apostle Paul, "Of all sinners, I am the worst. It is only by the grace of God that I am what I am." In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us a good guideline to follow as we fight our pride and seek to live in harmony with others. He says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." James then points out how we, if we work by our standards, are often working contrary to God's plan. We so often choose those who are rich and influential in worldly things, when God chooses those who are rich and influential in spiritual things. We so often accept people on the basis of our own personal likes or dislikes, but God accepts people on the basis of his love for them alone through Jesus the Savior. So how do we deal with one another's differences? The advice that Jesus gives us in John chapter 15 seems to sum up everything that James has been saying when Jesus calls us to love one another as I have loved you. Forgive each other just as I have forgiven you. Amen.